from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitin.
Good morning, and I'm looking forward to 10:30 here on the show. Not that I'm not looking forward to our next guest next, but at 10:30 today, Seattle, not only one of the saddest cities, but also the most anxious. We'll be talking about that at 10:30. Good morning, Ursula.
Good morning, G. I think we made a lot of people anxious in our 9:30 discussion, but I just want to assure everybody that G and I love each other. We get into heated discussions, and then we're done. So we're good this hour, right, G?
Yeah.
It's kind of what we do every day.
That's what we do.
Exactly. Well, let's move on now.
What's new at 10?
Because it's time to bring on our reporter, Matt Markovich, with all things Olympia, what's going on in our state capitol, and some of the bills that are getting a lot of attention, including should coaches be able to discipline athletes with push-ups and wind sprints, and should you get a tax rebate? Okay, you've got some answers here. So I think the wind sprints and push-ups has to, I heard you talking about it on Seattle's Morning News in conjunction with recess.
Well, here's the deal. I'll set it up this way. You know, recess, we've talked about recess before on this show because it's turned out that's going to be one of the more controversial issues that wasn't a unanimous vote on this thing. So the House just passed, Senate passed a recess bill, which basically says, elementary students have to have a minimum of 30 minutes of recess every day on a regular school day. And then it went to the House. The House passed it yesterday, but there were some changes a little bit. And I'm going to bring up one of the changes was about using recess or exercise as a disciplinary measure. So one of the reasons that was the hot topic that really held up this bill and some of the discussion for a bit, can you use recess as a discipline measure? There was a move to actually remove an amendment to remove the a model policy, they call it, that says we don't want to encourage discipline using exercise as a discipline. That's actually in the policy now that says we don't want to encourage exercise as a disciplinary measure. So Republicans wanted to remove that so they could use discipline, exercise as a discipline, recess as a discipline. You know, I'm going to say this out right now. It's the drop and give me 20. Coaches say that, you know, that use that is that discipline or is that coaching? You know, here's a Jim Walsh.
To a high-spirited, rambunctious kid, exercise is one of the healthiest tools for learning discipline and learning focus. And while you're running those laps, Mr. Speaker, I guarantee you think about what you said or what you did that wasn't right.
So my question to you guys is, should coaches be allowed to use running laps, giving 20 push-ups or 100 push-ups, sit-ups, whatever, is that discipline or is that coaching?
I think it's both. I think it can be both, and in my opinion, as a parent, as a football mom, as a mom who I am totally okay as long as it's not abused. But I think that is a great tool for coaches to have.
Great tool to have. It is both. It's both discipline and it's both coaching.
I'm going to say this. If you bring it up as discipline, if a student brings it up as discipline, they would have a case under the current policy.
What do you mean by that?
Here's a reason why. Here's what the Democrats said, because some students have been saying this about running extra laps and doing extra push-ups.
Too often across our state, we find that exercise or the assignment of physical activity is disproportionately affecting students of color.
And that was an argument that was used in the debate here, that it's disproportionately used as a punishment to people of color.
No. Hey, man. No. No.
Is there evidence?
She did not provide evidence of that. I love to say that my entire life has been centered around sports. From the time I literally started playing when I was 3 to the time of my childhood up to when I played in college to me being a dad and watching them go all the way up. You know how many times I've ever said, you know what? I think that my son, or I think that I am running because I'm black. Never. I'm sorry. Like this case, one thing about sports. Sports is the one area in which, first of all, America has gained from that, from sports, right? Where we can go back to color barrier being broke with Jackie Robinson and all those type of things. When you start talking about sports, I think that is one place where it, I mean, racism happens in all aspects, but I don't believe that people of color are disproportionately impacted by having to run more laps than someone that isn't a person of color. And that's not just my experience. That's not just that. But I've never even heard of that until right now.
Which is why I'm wondering if it's like In Search of a Problem.
Well, I mean, this was the hot topic yesterday when this was debated, you know, about. So what this was, you have basically an elementary school law that or a rule that says they have to get 30 minutes. So this was added on. This was an amendment that they wanted to pass to eliminate this policy and procedure that, quote, strongly discourages the practice of withholding recess or exercise as a disciplinary measure.
I disagree with that. Okay, real quick, I disagree. Like, I don't think any school should be able to hold recess over a child's head. That recess is very important for them to get out there. So
I do. I skipped a lot of recess. And you know what? I understand that in some children, if you withhold recess, it may make their problem behaviors worse. Completely understand that. My wife works with kids with problem behaviors in schools, and I hear about this stuff all the time. But look, I was never, let's say, rambunctious or rowdy or throwing spit wads at kids after I had to serve detention in recess as a child. You know what happened after I came back from detention during recess? I stopped throwing spit wads. I think it's completely fine to make kids stay in for recess.
Which raises a whole nother thing for me. Why are they trying to determine this on the state level? Why not leave something to local level local districts?
And that was the argument against this, is that school districts should have control over it. And it still is the argument. But I was bringing up the idea about coaching and discipline and making people do exercise as discipline, because that's what this would also be part of that. And I thought that was interesting. I knew that G would probably have an opinion about that.
Strongly discouraged does not mean bars, though, right?
Correct.
It just says, hey, we're telling you that this is an instrument of discipline that can be abused, and so we're discouraging its abusive forms, but it's not actually prohibiting it.
You want me to tell you what they end up doing?
Yeah, what did they end up doing?
They voted this amendment down, which meant that it's going to leave the policy in place, which basically says school districts strongly discourage the practice of withholding recess and exercise as a disciplinary measure.
Okay, which I agree with. I want to get onto something, because when you talk about people of color being disproportionately disciplined in schools, that's true. That's true, right? Suspensions, that's true. Being held from recess and all things, that's true, okay? But I don't think it is true when you're talking, like, you know, like, this is kind of two different things here, right? When you start talking about, like, the actual coach or who are the PE teacher or someone making you do extra laps, I don't think in that regard it's disproportionately impacting people of color. But I do believe that the holding back recess from those inside of schools, I just don't think that should be done. I think all kids should be able to get out and get that recess. And, Chef, you're right. Look, I loved recess. You loved recess. And maybe that got you to stop. But some kids don't respond to that. And some kids go the opposite. Oh, you're going to take the recess from me? I'm going to be worse. All kids should be able to go outside and get recess. Yes. That should not be disciplined.
If you have a high-functioning child that understands their behavior, it's completely fine. In barring that practice and taking that tool away from every district in the state would be a terrible idea.
I think it would be a terrible idea. And once again, this just reminds me of the pursuit bill, which is in trying to address an issue, why not just address the issue instead of now creating something that, you know, now you can't, you know, use the push-ups or whatever as a disciplinary thing. Just don't do it disproportionately, but have that still available as a tool. I always just feel like you create a new problem by trying to solve a problem that should just be addressed singularly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about the governor's homelessness plan and the $4 billion that he wants. It's not going too far.
Well, right now, it's not looking too good. We've been talking about this, and it was like on February 27th when we heard from the Speaker of the House basically questioning whether or not this vote of $4 billion for housing should go through. Should there be an alternative? Well, what happened yesterday is that the Senate released its capital budget plan, and it did not include any elements of his $4 billion proposal. Basically, it said it had $625 million, which is a lot less than $4 billion, going toward housing. And so the governor right away basically chimed in and said, no, that's not enough. We need more money. We need a lot more money. Go big so people can go home. That's his phrase. And so yesterday, that was a big deal when the Senate released this. Another indication that the $4 billion plan may be in jeopardy for the governor. And it's based on, you know, also what the Senate is looking at and the House is how much money we're going to be making. And they came out with this revenue forecast, which is important for all of us, how much money the state is making. And guess what? The state's making a lot of money. It's making a heck of a lot of money. It's just not making as much money as they originally forecasted. This year, they're going to have, in this biennium, they're going to have nearly $200 billion extra money on top of a $4 billion surplus. But the following biennium, down $450 million. The next biennium, which goes to 2027, another $500 million. So it's still a lot more money. It's just forecasted not as much. It's a question of whether they're going to raise new taxes now or not.
So the governor says go big or go home. No pun intended.
Go big so people can go home.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Now, that is in addition to the $25 billion that I mentioned before. Yeah. But the King County Regional Homelessness Authority is asking for that to end homelessness in King County. I think the problem is, there are so many figures that are being thrown out there without real clear plans as to, okay, what exactly is going to happen with that money and what exactly has happened with the money that we put into it so far? Yeah. And what are the guarantees that whatever additional money you're asking for now are going to make, you know, going to make a dent in what we're dealing with? And is there any coordination between these, you know, state government and King County and the amounts of money they're asking to solve basically similar problems?
You talk about coordination. The city of Seattle is going to be spending its own money on housing. King County is doing the same. The state's talking about it. They're all independent actors in all this doing their own thing. Is there coordination? I can't answer that question. It doesn't look like it. Hasn't been since we had homelessness crisis declared, six, 7 years ago? So I think what the underlying point of this story, why it's important for all of us, is that we've been talking about this $4 billion plan. It is the governor's number one thing. The number one thing he's been pushing the entire legislative session. And what the Senate did yesterday indicates, hey, we may not be on board. And these are the Democrats.
I ain't on board. I'm not on board. We keep talking about these fancy buckets, and I keep giving the illustration of the boat. And the $4 billion are for the fancy buckets, but we want to spend $2 on the hole in the boat. We talk about all of these plans. And look, my heart goes out to folks that are unhoused. I actually know what that's like. But there are a lot of people, and I continue to talk about this, that are on the verge of becoming homeless. So we sit here and we keep talking about taking buckets and taking water and just scooping the water out of the boat. But we don't want to address the hole. You know, one of those holes is wage disparity, but I won't bring that up again. But anyways, when it comes to this problem, so when you start throwing $4 billion, $8 billion, the $1 billion here, $1 billion there, everything that we discuss every single day is going towards those that are already unhoused. Yes, We do need to take care of that population. But I'd argue that we need to spend more time on the population that is on the brink. And by the way, there is a lot of people on the brink right now because housing has gone up, inflation has gone up, groceries, gas, everything gone up, except for wages. Mm-hmm. So this whole $4 billion plan, I don't care what you do, Governor Jay Inslee. I don't care if you and your people are listening right now. You keep spending all that money for these fancy buckets, but we're spending $2 for the hole in the boat.
Well, another people already said, why can't we spend that money on homelessness, the minor league ballpark money?
Well, actually, that is something that I did bring up this morning during our meeting, and I didn't bring it up during our discussion. But the question would be, yeah, I mean, right now when you're talking about potentially not having a surplus in the years to come, do you want to spend that money on ballparks? It's, you know, drug addiction or homelessness or lack of mental health beds.
I want to play one last thing here. Do I have time? Let me see. It is from the chief forecaster, Steve Lurch, him predicting what's going to happen in the future. This is the dude that all the legislatures listen to. He's like the guy in the back of the casino making all the odds. He is the guy is making the predictions. And here's why housing is such a big deal.
We have seen the Washington economy doing a bit better than the U.S. We've seen employment growing a bit stronger. So we see Washington population growing faster than the U.S. The pandemic slowed down a lot of migration, but we do anticipate Washington is going to grow faster than the U.S. And so that's going to be certainly a positive for employment growth.
But it also means a lot more housing. And they've built a million people have moved in the last decade or so. And they've only built 350,000 homes for it. That's the figure that people are saying. So we have more people moving here
right.
than the U.S. average. We got to put housing up somewhere. Whether they have the money to live here or not, that's a moral question. But
in this country, we can't even agree on $10,000 student debt relief when it comes to student loan. We can't even agree on that. But yet we want to talk about the problem when people are unhoused. I want to say again, until we go 100% harder on before people become unhoused, we will continue to throw money and keep throwing money and getting no results from that. And it's mind-blowing that every single time we talk about these topics, everything is connected. Mm-hmm. Everything. So if it's $8 billion that you throw at the people that are unhoused in this situation, in housing and all, oh, you guys want affordable housing? You want to build the projects again? I'm from Chicago. My grandmother lived in Robert Taylor Homes. I know what that's like. That's what it becomes. Because if you have all of this housing and people can't afford to keep it up, then you get Cabrini Green. You get Robert Taylor Homes. You get Ida B. Wells.
Maybe we should have the legislators drop and give me 20. Thank you.
Matt
as always.
I got to give you some love. That was damn good. Well done, man. Hey, coming up next, Seattle not only is the saddest city, but it's also the most anxious. Gene Ursula.
Welcome back to the Gene Ursula Show. I am just happy as possibly can be. Happy as a clown? Is that what you're going to say?
How about happy as a cat daddy?
There you go. Happy as a cat daddy that we are now officially in spring. Mm-hmm. But apparently there are a lot of people, okay, not just sad in Seattle, yeah, but a lot of people who are very anxious. So the FYI guy at the Seattle Times reports that in the first few weeks of February, nearly 60% of people experienced anxiety in the Seattle area. So we are number one when it comes to being stressed out in the country. We're 5 points ahead of Phoenix at number two and 7 points higher than San Francisco at 52%. And guess what some of the reasons were for this high level of anxiety?
What were the reasons?
It would be the weather. Okay, so that's turning around, in my opinion. Yep. If you like more sunshine and more light hours, okay, it's getting better. Mm-hmm. So we've gone through the worst. It's caffeine. G. You're you've moved away from the caffeine.
Right. I'm on a tea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Caffeine-free tea, by the way. Okay. Totally makes sense. I mean, first, let's just start with the weather, okay? And you said we beat out Phoenix and we beat out San Francisco. No doubt about it. We got the weather. And not only do we have the weather that is not as good as San Francisco and or Phoenix. Oh, by the way, did you guys know so far since the start of the year, Los Angeles has had more rain than Seattle? Don't tell everybody, but that happened. But yeah, I think people are anxious here, Ursula. I think people here are really worried often all the time about what you got to do to get done to continue working here, to continue affording things here. It totally makes sense that people are there. And then, of course, the caffeine. You know what the caffeine does? If you're constantly depending, as let me speak for myself, constantly depending on that caffeine to get you through the morning. And then after you've gotten through the morning, you need that afternoon pickup. And you get that afternoon pickup. So it's just highs and lows all through the day.
Yeah, you know, and I added the caffeine, and I actually was looking at a previous study. So this particular household pulse survey did not get into why exactly people are so stressed out. But one of the possibilities is also just coming out of the pandemic. I've got a suspicion, though, that maybe we are much more in tune with our emotions, because do you really think we are the saddest and most anxious in the country? Like, of all places, I think it's just maybe more people are willing to admit that, hey, you know, I'm kind of feeling down, or I just more in touch with their emotions and don't look at it as something to be stigmatized. Like, hey, yeah, I feel anxiety.
Let me ask you, this is simple. Let's say you're running errands on a Saturday, Ursula. My question to you is this: do you run more or less errands when the sun is out?
When the sun is out, I feel like
your mood is,
I can't, my mood has changed. And I feel like I can't afford to stay inside because I don't know when the next sunny day is going to be. So it's like, okay, I need to, I don't want to be running errands. In fact, last week on Saturday, we were furniture shopping and Mark and I were like, why are we doing this on the most beautiful day so far this year?
Yeah.
Because we're running out of weekends. Yeah. That's part of the answer. But I was like, we should be out at the beach.
Yeah.
We have the most beautiful areas to be on a sunny day. Mm-hmm. But so I am going to say, call me skeptical on some of these surveys. I think it's just, I don't know that we have it the worst per se, but I think it's just more people are willing to admit, just like more men in Seattle are willing to admit that they own cats. Do you know that single men in Seattle are number two in the entire country for owning cats? Does that come as a surprise?
Yeah, it does. It definitely comes. I mean, because when I used to tell people that before that I had a cat, people were, oh, really? You have a cat?
And because, well, we're such a dog region. Mm-hmm. Like, we have more dogs than kids, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And also, before we get to the cat, I also want to say Seattle does rank as the most medicated when it comes to mental health reasons as well. Antidepressants. Seattle is one of the number one cities in the country when it comes to that. But as far as being a cat daddy, love cats. Love what they do, Ursula, to my mental. Except right now. Your boy is stressed right now about the cats.
Why?
So I made a mistake. I tried to get... All right. I got cheap. OK. So as you guys know, we now have the second cat, Frankie. So we've had Vito and now we have Frankie. And so I was thinking, huh, well, they say you should get another cat litter box. Right. But then not always. Sometimes they can coexist in one. Right. So they had been making sure it's cleaned out every 3-4 times a day. Lillian is crazy about that. You know, on that, everything was great until it wasn't.
Uh-oh.
the last day or so, one of them, and I think it's been Frankie, he's been peeing outside of the box. Yeah. So this morning, I was in the car this morning after we got it done with our meeting, and I had to order some more. So anyway, so it lets you have those stresses in your life?
Yeah.
You're good.
You're a cat daddy.
I'm a cat daddy.
You're very in touch with your feelings, G.
I love it.
I think that actually points to the fact that we are comfortable expressing ourselves in different ways there. I think there's a lot of places in the country where if you're a single guy and you told someone you own a cat, they look at you and be like, man, what you own a, cat for? Those are for women. It's a woman for animals. It's an animal for women.
Sweeping statement coming up. You ready?
Uh-oh. Sweeping just like that last one.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweeping statement. I'd bet that a man... So if you had two single men, one single man owns a dog, one single man owns a cat, I bet you the single man with the cat is cleaner than the man that is with the dog. Sweeping statement.
Who do you trust more?
The dude with the cat.
Wrong I go answer. With the dude with the dog.
No, actually, okay, no. Let me answer that honestly. Let me answer because I like to be honest. Yeah. You definitely trust a dude with a dog.
Yes. Who's going to help you move? The guy who owns a dog or the guy who owns a cat?
The guy who owns a dog.
Okay, so we talk about the Northwest being, so a lot of cat dads, the cat dad capital. Only Portland ranks higher than Seattle. But in Seattle, nearly 1 in 4 Seattle men own cats. So you can bring that to your next party.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And I also think that dudes with dogs, single dude with dog, is a lot cooler than a single dude with a cat.
But I agree too.
But the single dude with the cat got
I'm
more.
I'm just terrified of cats. That's why.
The single dude with the cat has more money than the single guy with the dog. Sweeping statement.
Sure, yep, sweeping statement.
Come on, Ursula. That's what radio is about. Sweeping statements. Coming up next on the G and Ursula Show. Oh, boy. Somebody writes in, oh, man, about what to do about the new guy that their sister-in-law is dating. G and Ursula. Good morning, everybody. It is the G and Ursula Show. I'm not too comfortable about agree to disagree coming up at 11:06 because Chef says to us, hey, I got a surprise for you. And then Ursula says, oh, I think I know what you're talking about. So I have no
idea. Stay tuned. It's actually something that'll probably make you chuckle or cringe.
I had to get permission.
Wait, I'll put it that way. Real quick, though. And you okayed it? Because if you okayed it,
yeah,
it's not really that good.
Because yesterday was a kind of a meh Monday. It was a more manic Monday.
Yeah.
It was meaty. It was just heavy. And I realized that I was more tense than I was like enjoying.
Okay.
So today has been kind of a more balanced show. Mm-hmm. And I think we just need to throw some, you know, we had some tension at 9:30 and then we're having some, you know, fun discussions too, and this one will just make everyone chuckle.
Ursula approved this, but I don't think she knows the whole story. You may come to regret this.
Knowing Chef, maybe I will regret this.
Scenarios. This is complicated, so bear with me on this. FYI, they're talking about COVID. So last year, her sister lost her husband to COVID complications back then. It's been hard on us because he was a great guy and we all were really close. We were even planning a vacation together for this summer with my sister and her husband. Well, it turns out that my husband and I may be more upset about it than my sister. I just found out that she's joined 4 online dating sites already. Then I found out that she was dating. And then I found out that she met someone and was planning to have him move in with her. That was shocking. But now my other sister just found out and she's planning to have this guy come on vacation with us in the first place. I'm saying no, but it gets better. My other sister and I looked into this guy and we found out that he's been married 3 times before and was arrested 2 times for domestic abuse. We have not told my sister about it yet, partly because she doesn't think I even know about her dating. My other sister says we should leave it alone because it probably won't change her mind, but I think we have to figure out how to deal with this. There are so many issues. Should we let him come on vacation with us? And then when he does, we ask him about it then, or should we just leave this alone? 888-973-5476, the State Roofing text line. Ursula, you up to bat first.
Can I ask just a few more questions?
Sure.
Okay, so how long have they been dating?
They don't really know that.
Okay.
Because at first it was 4 online dating sites.
Okay.
Then found out she was dating. And now she finds out, oh my goodness, this guy is going to be possibly moving in with her. They didn't give the time.
Okay. So it sounds like the issue goes beyond just this person is going to vacation with them. It's just, is this guy good enough for his sister? Or safe enough for the sister?
Right.
If you're truly worried about her safety, I would bring that up before. I wouldn't wait for the vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So now I just know my relationship with my own sisters. So there are a lot of things I don't know, like how close are they? I know with my own sisters, if either of my sisters got went, I wouldn't be surprised that they talked with each other and found out, hey, you know, Ursula's dating such and such, and I don't think this person's a good guy. You know, they would approach me with that first.
Mm-hmm.
I think the mistake would be to wait to go on vacation and then confront him there. A, your vacation's going to be ruined. B, that's also not fair to...
What could go wrong if you corner a domestic abuser?
Exactly. Well, you know, and that's exactly. I mean, I don't know enough details. You know, 2 times for domestic abuse. I mean, this guy sounds like a loser and sounds like it could be dangerous. Could he be reformed? I mean, there's a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't wait to the vacation, though. I mean, do you even want that guy on vacation? I would confront her. Not confront, but just have a discussion.
Before you go, Chef, I just want to simplify. This ain't your business. It was never your business. Your other sister shouldn't have been doing background checks. This is not your business. She's a grown adult. Let her do what she does. As far as him being married 3 times... Hey now, and also, the domestic abuse. We don't know what that's about. We don't know what that is going on. I mean, it's on the record. Let her do those things. And by the way, it will be if you tell your sister about this guy married 3 times and all this stuff on his record, and she does not do what you think she's going to do. Then what? Because most of the time, that information usually isn't the reason why someone would stop dating him.
Yeah.
Most of the time. I'm not saying all the time, but most of the time when people say, hey, you shouldn't date that person, that never works like you think it's going
to
work.
Okay, this is the one circumstance where you actually have to say something, because what's the alternative? You picture a scenario where 6 months from now, you didn't say anything, she didn't find out on her own, and all of a sudden she's explaining away bruises because she fell and withdrawing from her social circle. No, this is the one circumstance where you absolutely have to say, hey, I can't get behind you dating this guy based on his criminal history of beating up women.
Yeah, are you
fool
aware
me
of
once?
This?
Fool me once? Yeah, maybe there's some false reporting going. Fool me twice? I don't think so.
And again, I mean, it depends on what your relationship is like with your siblings, but I just know that I would appreciate if my sisters brought it up. Hey, you know, we love you. We're just worried about you. Obviously, you know, we looked into this guy. Are you aware of this? If she says yes...
Mm-hmm.
Then she is an adult.
Well, it seems like with the blink of an eye, this components of this relationship escalated way too quickly, in my opinion. To find out the guy has been in trouble with the law firsthand, it's a nightmare scenario for me. How much is already getting set in stone is one thing. The word better come out with this concern, preferably before the vacation, let alone already getting set in to move in with him.
Well, we're moving on now.
I mean, gee, you're right. I mean, it's her life, her choice to decide what she wants to do, but I think anybody in their right mind would not take this kind of a risk. She needs to maybe step back for a second in the relationship world.
Can I ask this before we go? Let's just say someone is getting ready to date someone. Is it normal for the sister or the other person to do right. the background check on that person without you knowing? Is that normal?
It's not normal, but it's welcome when you find something.
Fair. Fair.
And if you're going to go on vacation with him, I'd want to know who's joining us on our vacation because you can't. Oh, you're in close quarters.
All right. Hey, this anticipated agree to disagree is coming up next. I'm nervous because Ursula is okay with it, but then Ursula should be nervous because she doesn't, because Chef doesn't think she knows the whole thing. So get ready for 11:06. Gene Ursula. We'll be right back.